views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing today?
Good. I got a new headset. How's it sounding?
Sounds too good for the air. We might as well just, you know, forget about us. You don't need me anymore.
But I got this other headset, and it was like a gaming headset. But people that do gaming, they must have to have these things very tight to their heads. And so it was like hurting my ears. And so I had to give it up. And now I've got a smaller, lighter version that feels very, very good. So I'm still getting used to it. Jessica helped me correct where my mic was. And because, you know, I tend to pop my peas.
Yeah, I think it's a natural thing for all of us. So I take it the ping pong thing is taking a sidetrack to your moonline of gaming then, right? Are you getting into that?
Oh, like my God.
Virtual ping pong now? Is that basically what you're doing?
No, actually, I'm still ping-ponging it pretty good.
Good.
But because we're creating this animated version of how to educate oneself, especially about Lyme disease, I'm creating these animated characters, right? Mm-hmm. They're actually very, very cool. I was told I'm not allowed to reveal any of them yet, but like we've created these animated characters, like your acupuncture.
Like your avatars or something?
Like avatar characters, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the ticks actually have little names and designs. And I mean, if you're going to battle a disease like that, you better make it educational enough so people will pay attention. So, yeah, we're having some fun with that. So that's hence the whole gaming thing.
Okay. I'll let you roll with that. I've got some names in
that's
my head.
It.
I've got some names in my head, but I don't think I really want to say them live on the air.
Oh, my God. I'm just telling you. It's a whole new world. But I think in today's world with technology, right, we should be out there looking at how we can educate ourselves in so many ways. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new world. And I think that for somebody like me, I'm always looking for what is it that I could do to keep myself open to the world of possibilities? You know what I'm saying? Open to the world of possibilities. Mm-hmm. Today's guest is all about that. Joining me here today is Carol Jackowski, Sister Carol, and she has written a book. But most importantly, it's beyond the book. What I really zoomed in today is I zoomed in on looking at how we can learn from that which has come before us, how we can look at these blessings and folklore and magic and the book of spells, blessings and folk magic is what this is about. But what is it that we can learn for that which has come before us and bring into our daily life? You know, what can we learn about life itself and the energy of ritual that I find so fascinating? There's so much to cover in this incredible book. But let me just tell you a little bit about, and by the way, Benny, we're going to give a copy of the book away. Let me tell you about Carol for a minute. You know, look, life as a nun back in 1964, when she joined the Sisters of the Holy Cross in South Bend, Indiana, graduated from St. Mary's College in South Bend, and off she went, right? And went on to study at Notre Dame and look at her life. She spent half of her life as a nun at St. Mary's College and first as a student, then administrator. And boy, I'll tell you, if you are an administrator of any school, you get a medal from us. But I'm going to let her talk about that. And then in 1990, she moved to my hood, New York City, finished her PhD at NYU. And then all of a sudden, something must have happened. Because as many of us know, we go on the road of twists and turns in life. And sometimes things happen and we change our direction, just as you all have heard me say. But that change opens up the door of possibilities for our true purpose sometimes, what we're called to do and what we're called to share in the world. Today's story is less about the book she wrote and more about what her passion and purpose is to bring forth what she is called to do in this lifetime today. And that's what I love about what I do. Carol, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So I have a question that I've been asking people. I don't know if they told you this about me, but I do read the books. And the other part of this is our 15th year. And I started this show back in 03 after I finished achieving things in school, kind of like you, right? Mm-hmm. Went back to school, lost a job, went back to school, got an advanced degree, didn't tell anybody I got a doctorate. Actually, I didn't even know that I got a doctorate, really, in the end. I really didn't. And then I was depressed. And I looked at my life, and I just couldn't imagine taking that education and going back into corporate America. My life changed when I dialed a wrong phone number one day. So here's my question for you. Given everything that I've said about you, and I haven't said very much at all, I'd love to know what challenges, what obstacles you had to overcome to bring you to this very moment.
Well, I think when I moved here to New York City in 1981 was a big turning point for me. I had spent all of my previous life in Northwest Indiana and had never been to New York City before. But when I arrived here, and I wasn't even conscious of past lives at that point, but when I arrived here, I had the sense of not only I had a past life here, but that I had to live here at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it did to me was kind of opened my eyes to, because, you know, everybody's a minority in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
You know, rarely are you with everybody of your own kind. You know, you end up celebrating each other's holidays. You end up celebrating each other's holy days. And that kind of opened my mind to the sense of, you know, we all celebrate the same times of the years in different ways.
Yeah.
And so my life kind of took the shape of wanting to focus on what are the things that bring us together? What are the things that, to pay attention to where the tears in society are, and what are the things we can do to heal those? You know, so the book became for me, not only did I want to make my own prayer book, but it was a way for people, and I began meeting so many people who grew up in some type of religion, no longer practiced. They're not raising their children in any religion, but they want to do something to deepen their spiritual life. You know, so this became kind of, as one person said to me, you know, it's a book on how to save your soul without religion.
Yeah.
And kind of focuses on what we all celebrate in common.
Yeah. You know, I was born in New York, and I lived in New York for, you know, most of my teenage years.
Where
and
did
then, of
you
course,
live? Where did you
I was born in the Bronx. And, District 14, which a young congresswoman is from right now, went to PS 14, went to Christopher Columbus High School. But there was something about what you just said that's really important, and I don't want to blow by it. And that is that, you know, melting pot is an understatement. You know, when you live in a place like you and I have lived, and every day on the street, it is this just beautiful basket of colorful flowers that we call people.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
all walks of life, right?
Yeah.
From everything that they do to everything that they say. And it really does present itself with the what I love to think about is the magic mm-hmm. of the blessing of us, you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And yet at the same time, I grew up in a very Catholic school environment.
Yeah.
And then my dad remarried somebody from the South. And I found myself at church revivals in a Southern Baptist community mm-hmm. and a mother that practiced that religion who also carried around a picture of Kuan Yin. And so confused yeah. is an understatement.
yeah.
But New York introduces us, as does the world now, to the many facets of who we are. What would you say in your journey was your greatest lesson?
I think the greatest lesson for me was discovering that everything is holy just as it is.
Mm.
You know, that mistakes are turning points, that there's nothing we do, regardless of how much it feels like a bad mistake, that mm-hmm. doesn't point us in a different direction. You know, and we tend to look at, I think, mistakes as like negative things, mm-hmm. but it's all from us. It's our path. It's how we learn. And I think that was the biggest, that things that feel the worst is the time for me to begin thinking about, okay, this is the moment that is just as holy as all the other ones that feel best.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this call? What is this moment calling from me? How should I respond to this? So I think that's probably the biggest lesson for me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, part of this and really wanting to talk to you today is to really take this journey down the road of many paths to God, many paths, many people, mm-hmm. you know, many ways. As my friend used to say to me, Pat, all roads lead to home. And yeah. I never really quite understood that. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Book of Spells, Blessings, and Folk Magic. And we're going to talk about how what you've done is really a portal, or shall I say, really brings us relief in a world where sometimes we think we're so very, very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that and much more. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune in to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Megan will be raising the universal consciousness by empowering listeners with their own inner strength, working past trauma and abuse. Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Tune in every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Megan and her work, visit enterthelightllc.com.
Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Join Angie Corbett-Kuiper on her hit show, Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbett-Kuiper.com.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm so grateful that I get to talk to Sister Carol, Carol Jakowski, joining me here today. And Carol, look, I mean, there are many ways people can find out more about you. I would love for you to tell folks how they can get a copy of this book. It's Book of Spells, Blessings, Folk Magic. As you'll read on the back, Abracadabra and Blessed Be. I love that. Tell folks how they can find out more about you, more about your art, more about all of the things you're doing.
Okay. I have a website, which is www.caroljakowski.com. I also have a Facebook page, which is Sister Carol Jakowski. And those are the two places. The book can be found Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent booksellers, any of those links.
Awesome.
I live on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. My phone number is...
well, look, there are many things I could talk about in the book, but I love to talk about what I find to be perhaps one of the most important things that has governed my peace and my joy. And you really talk about it beautifully in the book. And I can't say enough about what you've written in here and how you've written it, right? Because one of the things that I've seen is that we make things so complicated. And I want to appreciate you and thank you for not making this complicated, but making this easily available to everyone. But the first thing that popped up to me is the single word in the middle of a page called belief. Belief. And I think that for a lot of folks, this is one of those words that has gotten used a lot in the past 10 years, and yet we don't understand the magic in it in itself. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about belief? Not just about today's day and age, but even if you go back and you look at scripture or you look at things that were written thousands and thousands of years ago, it comes up in so many ways. Let's talk about that and how important it is.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, you know, particularly in Christian scripture, which I'm most familiar with, mm-hmm. belief is what the power is in prayer. That's what makes things. That's what makes things happen. And it's belief in the fact of being able to see the unseen, that appearances are not reality, that what we're looking at happening at any one time is just the surface of what's really going on underneath. And belief allows us to stay focused on, to stay focused on the energy of what I'm asking for is already happening.
Mm-hmm.
That, because in scripture you hear this over and over, you know, if you believe what you ask for in prayer, it's already granted to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's your belief that saved you. It's
yeah.
your belief that healed you. And it's believing that we're already healed that heals us, that it's already going on. We may not feel it at the time, but to believe that in some way it's already, it's, you know, it's happening. So I think it's it really allows us to kind of develop a habit of trying to see the unseen, of not trusting just in what we, and just in appearances, because that's not reality. There's so much going on that doesn't meet the eye at any one time.
Mm.
You know, and it's part of what we're here to learn to do, you know, to trust that we are divine spirits experiencing what it is to be human, and to be able to take those, to take every experience we have and to somehow discover the divinity in that, what that does to us, how that changes us, you know, what we do with that. Everything, I think, that happens to us in a day comes to us with a specific purpose. You know, everything comes to us with a purpose.
You know, one of the things I was really struck by is, you know, in your conversation of belief, it really sets the stage for us to take a look at how we approach our lives, mm-hmm. you know, to truly approach our lives from the perspective of manifesting the things we truly want in life and not manifesting the things we don't.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes unconsciously we manifest things we really don't want in life.
Yeah.
And but what you've put together here is you've not just put together an outline and have written this book to guide us along the way. What you've said is this is how you could do it.
I
want to talk about sacred places. Because if you were to come in my home, I've been told I have more, and they folks refer to them as altars.
Mm-hmm.
I have more altars in any one home than they have ever seen. Now, I didn't do that intentionally, but I do suspect that my early childhood upbringing of being in Catholic boarding school at a very young age, being around, you know, the sisters in the Bronx, and while my mom was sick, spending a lot of time in church and chapel, I have gotten an affinity for altars, right? I have always seen them as beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I don't think I've ever gone into any kind of spiritual place, whether it's a temple or where there isn't something like that, that just expresses something. What do altars, what do these sacred places express?
I think what they do is sort of, and you know, when you mention that you have altars everywhere, I can't tell you the number of homes that I have entered of friends and strangers in this city that have no obvious connection to any religious persuasion, but there are some photos and some stones and some crystals and a candle. You know, there are places on top of bookshelves, you know, on top of desks. But I think they designate places in the home that are sort of centers that call us to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that remind us that our homes are like our souls. You know, our souls are our homes, and our homes are our souls. And I also think they're the focus of where we do our ritual activity. You know, so there's a concentration of energy there.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of call us to that dimension in everyday life, you know, that there should be a time every single day, you know, where we approach those altars, even for a second, to light a candle, make a wish, to sort of tap into that energy. And I think they're also, at least for me, there's kind of an energy of that they're safe places,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're protective places. They're places that open a doorway into the spirit world, you know, that I can open anytime that I want. So they end up, and I think everybody has those places somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're probably sorely missing that, is my experience, and don't know where to find it.
You know, one of the things that I was going to ask you is, as you sat down and you decided, I am writing this book, you know, it really had to have a purpose and meaning. And the reason I refer to it and thinking about this, right, and I want to talk to you about this when we come back, is I don't know how I did it, but I opened up to a random page. And this stood with me and stayed with me. And I want to talk with you about it when we come back, because I think this really sums up, this quote really sums up the essence of the book, but more importantly, the essence of how to do this. And it's a quote that is Joan of Arc. And it says there is no day that I do not hear the voice, with a capital V. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give a copy of the book away. But those words right there, this is really, for me, looking at tapping into divine guidance every day in our lives to tap into the spirit world of possibilities. We'll be right back. We're going to take a short break. Sister Carol's joining us here today. Carol Jakowski, Book of Spells, Blessings, and Folk Magic. What if that were you as well? What if every day, you could hear the voice? What if every day that voice guided you in ease and grace to exactly where you wanted to go? We're going to talk about that and much more. And we're going to get some blessings and some magic here. We'll be right back. Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert, and get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Hi. I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. It's been said that whatever you believe, you are. When you take charge with your positive thoughts and beliefs, you are the creator of your perceptions. You have the power to shift your reality. When you begin to shift your beliefs, the universe will dream a bigger dream for you than you ever imagined. Believe in your dreams, and every part of your world can open up in new and glorious ways, because everything is possible. I'd love for you to join me on Grow Your Soul Radio with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. And Benny, let's go ahead and give a copy of the book away, Book of Spells, Blessings, and Folk Magic. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to go from this point and talk about Joan of Arc. But let's give a copy, 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. Carol, what do you make about this? I turn to this page, and there's this quote, Joan of Arc, "There is no day that I do not hear the voice." And then I go on to read what you write about, right? And I love that you put this right in the beginning of the book, because it sets the stage. And it sets the stage for so much. I made a comment to you, and I want to ask you about it. When I have heard the voice in my life, it's never usually been about, oh, gee, hi, Pat, how are you, right? Like that, no. Mm-hmm. It's usually a call to action. And my assessment of my life is when I've heard the voice and I've acknowledged it, and then I've done what the voice tells me to do, life mm-hmm. is pretty good. Mm-hmm. When I don't do it, it gets very uncomfortable. What am I hearing?
Well, you know, I think that for those of us who believe that we have a soul, that we have a spirit, and that spirit, it's a conscience, it's intuition, it's gut instinct, and it has a voice. And it's a voice, and I think particularly, you know, for us as writers, at least for me, every word I write comes from that voice. You know, so I've become very, particularly since I started writing every day in 1976, mm-hmm. you know, so in writing, that's where I listen to the voice. But I think you're onto something with, we can tell by how we feel whether we're listening to the voice or not. But I think there's, you know, and part of it is being able to take the time. You need some quiet time. You need some solitary time to be able to listen to your inner voices. And, you know, you're going to hear the voice of parents. You're going to hear the voice of your partner. You're going to hear the voice of you'll hear a lot of different voices at the start. But what you want to hear is, what's your voice saying? Mm. because your voice is the divine voice in you. And that's the voice. But it's conscience. It's intuition. It's, you know, it's gut instinct. And if we follow gut instinct and it doesn't turn out well, then we know maybe we were listening to the wrong voice. But again, that's a turning point. That's not a, not necessarily a bad thing. It's how we learn.
Well, you know, part of this is tying together in some of the other things that you've put in here, and I wanted to talk about those too. I mean, we've talked about belief, we've talked about sacred spaces, and we've talked about the voice. You know, what I find fascinating is your introduction to the magic of ritual. And I want to talk about what you mean by that. And how ritual has been used for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And yet in today's society, we kind of somehow don't believe that that's ours to do. And yet the art of ritual goes back as far, I think, as mankind does.
Yeah. And we all use fire.
Oh.
You know, yes. Fire, water, earth, air. And it's the thing I find is, the power in ritual builds up every time it's repeated, you know, so it becomes charged with energy of every person who has done that ritual from the beginning of time, you know, so when you look at holy times of the year, like the equinox, like the solstices, you know, where all religions tend to celebrate their holy days. It's because there's a focus of energy at those times of the year that's very powerful. And when we tap into that energy by the rituals we do, we have access to that in our lives. And part of the reason I wanted to do this book was to sort of let people know, you know, that you can take religion into your own hands in your own homes where it belongs. Mm-hmm. That's where it started. You know, before it got organized, there were house churches. And, you know, if there were house churches, women presided. You know, so it's being able to, you don't have to. I mean, if religion enriches your life, then follow that path.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not your path, you can do that for yourself. You have that power. You know, the earth is our church, and we are all priests here, walking each other home in whatever way we go.
When I think about the world we live in and how fast-paced this world is, I'm often struck by how it's all relative. We talk about the time and the day and age we live in as being so fast-paced, but yet, you know, I think it's all relative. I think it's relative to change. Mm-hmm. You know, just because we have technology and we can't go anywhere without our smartphones doesn't mean that, you know, if you go back in time to ancient times, there wasn't the same kind of element, albeit not quite as intense as it seems today. And I wanted to ask you about the process of this, because you talk about this in the book, about how to make magic. Would you walk us through what the process is, you know, for the practice of rituals, for the practice of magic, for bringing these folk, how should I say it, folk magic to the forefront? What have you discovered?
I think I've discovered that, that when, I'll talk for myself, when I decide to do a ritual, either for myself or because mm-hmm. someone else has asked me to pray for them, we select a certain day and a certain time that will do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you select the date and the time that you want to do a specific ritual. The intention is first, like, what is it that I'm asking for? Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm wishing for? What is it that I want to manifest in my life, which is what really what magic is. It's making real what we want. So the first thing is I set a date and a time. And then I begin to focus on what it is that that person is asking for and what type of ritual, you know, I would prepare. So say, for instance, there's one spell in the book of it's a fertility ritual of a woman who's trying to get pregnant several times in vitro, didn't work. And so we had picked, and this woman was Jewish, so she wasn't familiar with the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
But we had chosen to do 7 Saturdays at the same time where we would light a candle and begin to envision that what she would want would happen to her, that she would become pregnant. Mm. And she did. And, you know, I think Jake is now like 18 years old and living happily ever after. But it's, you know, you set the date and the time, and then you prepare what you want to do. You focus on what you do. And then in the actual ritual, I always start with lighting candles to focus my energy. I light incense. And then I sort of focus on what it is that I want, and then there's just a moment in the end of letting it be. It's not a long, drawn-out process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be brief. It's focusing the intention. It's what you want to happen. And in lighting the candles and the incense, you know, it sort of opens that door to divine intervention, and then I always believe that what we have asked for has already happened.
Yeah. I want to talk about this idea about asking for something and imagine it as already happened, mm-hmm. and how that ties way, way back. And then when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of things in here. Definitely some of the spells you've put in the book. And I want to ask you for a couple of them. Let's take a short break, everyone. When we come back, more with Book of Spells, Blessings, and Folk Magic, Carol Jackowski, my very special guest today. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Pat. For more information about us, go to thedrpatshow.com or transformationtalkradio.com. Carol, how can people find out more about you? How can they get copies of the book?
They can go to my website, www.caroljakowski.com. They can go to my Facebook page, Sister Carol Jakowski. And the book can be found on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, independent booksellers.
Cool.
I think those are all the places.
All right, great. Okay, we've talked about some of the things that you've outlined in the book. I'm curious, two things. What kind of feedback have you gotten from people that have used the books and have used some of the rituals in here? And then I'm just curious if you have a favorite.
I have gotten nothing but positive feedback. And I think it's because, I mean, what most have said is that it sort of encourages them to take their spiritual lives more seriously. And they found how once they started doing that, that they began to develop sort of like practices, you know, like you said over the break, you know, of every morning you do certain things. You know, every day when they come back from work, you know, they light the candle at the altar. They look at the day and how it went. How did they respond to everyone who came to them? So I think the thing that I like most is that it kind of raised people's consciousness to the fact that we can do this for ourselves. You know, we all have the ability to be priestly in the way that everybody else claims to be priestly. We all have that call to do the best we can with the life that we're given.
And, you know, I think the part that I think really gets us all hung up is the part where we actually have to do something. And, you know, what you've laid out here is you've laid out a way for us to have that process go a little bit better, if not a whole lot better. Yeah. And I think for me, that's what's kind of, you know, important for many of us to keep in mind. And that is that, you know, we're in this world to be in this world. And I think you've said this, there are many paths to God, right? As there are people that walk on the earth. And what you've laid out is a way for us to make that divine connection. Because I really think that's what it's about. You know, for me, at least at this part of my life, what I realize is that, you know, my days, you know, are so beautiful when I remember that I'm here and there is a divine connection. That divine connection is available 24/7, right? I'm curious. I know you work with people. A lot of people got the book. What are some of the spells, rituals that people point to and say, wow, that one really works? I'm sure they give you a lot of feedback.
I think the one that, and I just had a call last night. I hardly even know this woman. She's a friend of a friend. And it's the lucky winner gambling spell. It says, this spell was revealed by a woman sitting next to me in a New Orleans casino, learned from her grandmother and handed down through generations. She won $25,000. She said it also works really good at church bingo and should be done 5 minutes before any gambling adventure. I also have a testimonial from my best friend since kindergarten, Veronica Hargrove. Before departing for a casino trip, she did the spell and won $5,000. A mutual friend won $500, which her husband used to buy a new toilet.
Oh.
Okay, this is the spell. You take a green candle, it could be a votive candle or a regular candle, and you carve a dollar sign on all the sides. You light the candle 5 minutes before you go, and you make a wish to win. You let it burn for 5 minutes, and then you blow it out, and you rub your hands in the smoke, envisioning money come to you in whatever game you're going to play. And then you don't wash your hands until after you gamble. Keep the candle on your altar for future use. It also enhances good luck to share your winnings to the charity of your choice. The law of karma guarantees it will come back to you 10 times over. Blessed be. And I think that's the one most people call and say, hey, I just went to the casino and I won, yada, yada.
Well, you know, part of this, too, is looking at not just what rituals you've laid out here that are available for people immediately, but, you know, some of this, too, is to really look at calling prayer and ritual into our life every day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I am struck by is a prayer that was introduced to me many years ago. And I believe you've put it in the book, and it's the prayer of St. Francis. And I want to talk about that for a minute. I mean, it is one of those prayers that is quite controversial, as a matter of fact, in terms of its origin, you know, where we believe it began and came from. But the point is, doesn't matter where it came from. It's a very powerful, powerful prayer, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
You know, I'm like you. I don't pay any attention to where it came from.
Right.
It came from somewhere that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That speaks to me. And I think, again, it's one of those prayers that has been around for centuries, that has been prayed by billions and billions and billions of souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's power there. If there wasn't, it wouldn't have lasted. You know, it would have faded. It would have disappeared. But there's something there, you know, that moves people regardless of what you believe.
Yeah, I mean, it is the kind of prayer that there's a practice that I used to have where this would be my prayer every day and every night. And it was the words of this prayer so talked to the energy of change and ritual and magic.
Yeah.
You know, make me a channel of your peace.
Yeah.
You know, where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. I mean, it's so beautiful. It talks about both aspects of our human existence, the paradoxes of humanity and who we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've done such a great job in the book in pointing that out, bringing us both sides. And I wanted to thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for writing the book. We have a couple of minutes left. What's your hope for the book? What's your vision for it and what you would see people doing and changing in their lives with it?
I think my hope is that readers will find in the book ways for them to deepen their own spiritual life, ways for them to appreciate the call I think we all have inside for some kind of solitude, the call to prayer, the call to focus on kind of what we're here to do in this lifetime and how well we're doing that. And to be able to, you know, to do this, you know, we have the power in us to bring whatever we want into our lives. And I think ritual opens that door, and we can open that door whenever we want. And I hope the book sort of shows people how you can do that for yourself. Mm. And teach your kids. You know, I think kids are so ripe for ritual and magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they become our teachers, actually.
Yeah.
They actually become our teachers. Yeah. I mean, from the get-go, they are the spirit of magic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and they've spent more time in the spirit world than they have in this world.
Yeah, you know, boy,
so
that's
much for
sure.
They're much more in tune with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Carol, thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Pat. This was great. And thank your listeners also.
And I want to thank everybody for tuning us in, turning us on. Hey, everybody, we'll see you next time.
Lights go out and I can't be saved. Tides that I tried to swim against brought me down upon my knees. Oh, I beg and plead, singing, come out of things unsaid. Shoot an apple off my head and a trouble that can't be named.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.